Praise the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, beloved, as your soul is transformed, your mind is renewed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to share something with you that is shocking. I've understood a lot of it for a long time, but this absolutely blew me away, what the Holy Spirit showed me about the false teachings and false doctrines in the world concerning Christianity. And what he showed me is that the foundation of almost every false teaching is a misinterpretation of John 3:16. Now, I remember years ago, God told me the world knows John 3:16, but they don't know John 3:14. They don't understand the cross. But now I took the whole chapter in, and it's shocking. It's literally shocking how different it is than what it's being portrayed. John chapter 3 is the only place in the entire Bible where Jesus says you have to be born again or you cannot go to heaven. Man cannot go to heaven. He says it two different times. In John 3:3, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, to Nicodemus. Now remember, Nicodemus was a teacher, or Jesus called him a master. He was a teacher of Israel. And he comes to Jesus at night and says, hey, we know you must be from God or you couldn't do these things. And listen how Jesus responds. Jesus doesn't say, yeah, I'm from God. Jesus responds, as soon as he says that, Jesus responds and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then after he talks about being born again for a second, he tells them in verse 13, no man has ascended into heaven. None, not a single one has ever ascended into heaven. No man has ever went to heaven. At that time, all men, when they died, they couldn't enter into heaven, even if they believed in God, even if they had the faith of Abraham. They had to go to Abraham's bosom because they were not yet born again. They were not yet truly righteous. They were not yet rid of their natural life or the life that they were born with that came from Adam. And so here Jesus is telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, no person, nobody, no man will ever make it to heaven in the life that he has. None. You have to receive a new life. You must. And then we get to that verse 13 where he says that no one has ascended into heaven. And then verse 14, he explains to Nicodemus the cross. This is the only way. Nicodemus, the only way is for your life to be crucified and for you to receive another one. He's trying to tell him, Nicodemus, you're in danger. No man can make it. You must be born again. You've got to receive a new life. The life you have cannot ascend into heaven. You have to die, is what he's saying. He gets to verse 14. And as Moses, this is him still talking to Nicodemus, he's saying, you've got to have a new life, Nicodemus. And then he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And this eternal life here has been taken out of context. Eternal life is the life of Jesus Christ. It's not what happens when you die. It's actually the word, if you really define it correctly into English, it's perpetual life. It's life that never stops flowing. It's not talking about what happens when you die. It's talking about the life that you have right now. The life that you and I have naturally is not eternal. It's not perpetual. It's the life of Adam. It's temporary. It's going to die. And you've got to receive the life of Jesus and give up the life of Adam. So he says that whoever believes in the one, now watch this, the serpent on the staff. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent. Moses didn't lift up a picture of God. Moses didn't lift up the Ten Commandments. Moses lifted up a snake. The Bible said that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now watch this. Jesus is showing the serpent must be crucified. The nature of Adam, the life of Adam must die. The first Adam must be no more. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him can receive this new life, be born again, so that he can get to heaven. And he says in verse 16, and why am I going to go to the cross? Why is the serpent going to be lifted up? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him won't perish, but have this everlasting life. He'll be born again with a new life. Now watch this. For time's sake, let's just break this down real simply. In the world, we are told, for God so loved the world, everybody knows John 3:16. But are they telling us that none of us can go to heaven? Are they telling us that we have to have the life of Jesus Christ or we cannot go? That if we walk in our own life, even if we are a master of the church, even if we are a master of Israel, so to speak, even if we know all the doctrines, even if we think we understand it, but we don't have a new life, we cannot get into the kingdom of God. And not only that, the old life has to be crucified. It's not just receiving a new life. This is another false teaching that Jesus is added to you. No, sir. You had to die. Not you have to. You had to. You already did. But if you don't believe that, you'll continue to walk in your life. God has made a way for us to go to heaven. The only way is to be crucified on that cross. The serpent had to die. The old Adam, the first Adam, had to be crucified, and we had to receive the life of the last Adam. This is one of the most powerful chapters in the entire Bible. Jesus never says anywhere else you must be born again. I used to wonder why, and here's why. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He was a master of Israel. He was an expert of the old covenant. So whenever he comes to Jesus, he is prepared. He's prepared. The law is what prepares you to see that you must be born again, because the law reveals your inability to be truly righteous. It reveals your iniquity. It shows why you don't qualify. That's what the law does. So Nicodemus, the only reason Jesus didn't go tell the common people you must be born again is because the law had not done its work in the common people. And he did tell them that, but he told them it in a different way. He said, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no Zoe. You have no life in you. That's that eternal life, perpetual Zoe. Zoe is a word for life in the Greek that is different than the regular life of man. The regular life of man is psuche, where we get the word psyche. But the life of God is called Zoe. And this is what John 3:16 is, that God loved the world so that whoever believes in him can have perpetual Zoe. They can have the life of God forever and continually flowing, never ever ceasing for one second, that they can always walk in the life of God. So Jesus tells the common people, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. Jesus tells the common people, I am the life. I am the life. I am the Zoe, is what he said. I am the way. I am the life of God. Apart from me, you can't do anything. You must eat of me and drink of me, or you don't have any Zoe in you. But let's get back to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was more prepared for a more clear explanation. And Jesus preached the entire gospel to him. First, he tells him, you're a master of Israel, and you do not understand these things. You don't understand the things of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you can't go to heaven. You can't enter into heaven. No man can. You have to receive a new life. This is what John 3:16 is about. This is what John 3:14 is about. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now watch how devastatingly horrible man has done with this scripture. Think about it. We've went into the world, and Satan has used this scripture to tell Adam kind, to tell the old man, to tell the natural man that God loves you so much that he died for you. So if you believe in him, you can go to heaven. That is not what the scripture says. It says he loved the world so much. It never said he loved our life. He does love us. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us even when we were his enemies. But he has never loved our life. He has never loved the life of the old Adam. He came to put it to death because we are a being that can have a different life. We are a being that can have a different life. He doesn't hate our being. He hates our life that is in our being. And he had to crucify that life. And yet we take this scripture and we tell children and we tell adults and we tell everybody that God loves their life. We tell them that God loves you so much that if you just believe in Jesus, you get to go to heaven. That is not the scripture. The scripture is God loved you so much that he crucified you, so that you can receive a brand new created life from God that is created in true holiness and true righteousness. And yet we've taken this powerful sermon of Jesus Christ, and we pulled out one verse and we used it to say the opposite of what Jesus was preaching. Jesus wasn't preaching God loves your life. Jesus was preaching God has to crucify your life, and it's the only way for you to make it. You have to die. The serpent must be lifted up. We must die with him. I am crucified with Christ. Know you not, you know, that you died with him? Do you know not that you're dead to sin? Colossians chapter 3. For we died with him. Amen. You are dead, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. When did you die? Why do you get baptized, friend? Why do people get baptized? Because they believe in Jesus. If you get baptized because you believe God loves your life, you need to get baptized again. You do not get baptized because God loves your life. You get baptized because you understand the sermon. You understand the context. You understand that if I do not die and receive a new life, I can't go to heaven. So you get baptized in fear and trembling, knowing that I've got to receive this new life. And you get baptized with great joy, unspeakable and full of glory, because you understand that as I give up my life, I receive his. Man, oh my goodness. May the gospel be preached in the world for the first time in a long time. Praise God. Amen. May God awaken the church to understand the word of God and to preach the word. This is the most powerful sermon, oh my goodness, in the world. It's the most amazing sermon. And I believe God allowed Satan to use this out of context because in the very last day, he's going to use this very sermon to minister to those who the law has broken, who sin has broken. And he's going to open their eyes, and it's going to be the greatest sermon ever preached in all the world, John chapter 3. But it has nothing to do with God loving our life in any way, shape, or form. It has to do with him crucifying it so we could receive this new life of Jesus Christ. Beloved, I encourage you in Jesus' name to go meditate on John chapter 3 and get this powerful sermon in your spirit so that you never, ever, 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 ever tell another first life of Adam. Never tell another man, never tell another woman that God loves you so much that he died for you, so if you believe in him, you get to go to heaven. Don't do it. Tell them the sermon. Tell them the truth. Never tell them John 3:16 till you tell them they have to have a new life. John 3:16 is not for Adam. It's not that God loves the life of Adam. It is that God is here to crucify the life of Adam. You can't give somebody John 3:16 until you tell them that the life they have cannot make it. Until you tell them that they have to be born again. Until you tell them that they had to be crucified with Jesus. Only then can you tell them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish with all other men, but receive the everlasting, the perpetual life of God. It's the only way anybody is going to make it into the kingdom of God. God bless you in Jesus' name.